So what I'm going to do is sort of update. I guess I was here maybe a year and a half ago, and I haven't changed my mind. And the facts really haven't changed, so I'm going to give you basically the same pitch, just with fresher numbers, and I've stripped it down to make it a little shorter for you, because I could go on for 3 hours with this stuff. So the main theme is going to be the economy's not near as bad as the media, or most of the media, and most of the politicians have tried to convince you, and Louisville is sort of is coming out of this recession. There's some early data I can see that I'm going to show you that indicate that it's over. Basically, the recession was over last summer, is what the data are telling me. Maybe it doesn't feel like it, but that's the media again. All right, so I don't know if you can see all this, but this is job data, year-over-year job growth. And just to show you, this is what we just went through, and this is the main factoid. This and the unemployment rate are the two reasons that everybody's running around saying it's the worst economy since the Great Depression. It's completely untrue. There's no statistical basis in that statement, but people repeat it enough, they start believing it, right? There was a strong drop in jobs, and I'm going to mitigate that with some very interesting labor force data in a second. And just to compare it to previous recessions, you can see what we just went through is very similar to what we went through in 82, the 80-82 recession, and then also the 74-5 recession in terms of job losses. This is a little longer, but on that order. I don't think anybody with gray hair like me and was around during these other two recessions, I don't think that it feels near as bad what we just went through as what we went through in 80-82, what we went through in 74-5. Remember the stagflation, the hyperinflation, the very high unemployment, the uncertainty, the high interest rates. you remember in this town, particularly the early 80s, we lost all kinds of factories and businesses. They shut down, they mothballed. People left town. We lost all kinds of population. You know, name me one big company that shut down in this recession. You can't, I don't think. I haven't noticed anything big. So it's not as bad as you've been led to believe. Let me just set this up with a few macroeconomic factoids and compare what we just went through with the 80-82 recession and the 74-5 recession, and you judge for yourself whether this is a big a crisis. So the unemployment rate peaked during this recession at 10.2. It is not as high as it was in 82. So even on the unemployment rate number, it wasn't as bad as 82. And there's some reasons that it's as high as it is that mitigate even that. Percent change in jobs, yes, we lost a lot of jobs, but that's because so many people now want to work compared to the early 80s. There's a big demographic shift that has occurred, and I'll go into this in some detail in a second. That leads to this slide, actually, the percentage of adults that are employed. We now, during this recession, even at the worst of the recession, we have a higher percentage of adults working than we did in either of the two previous recessions. And it has to do mainly with females entering the labor force. Our economy has absorbed all of these people, but there's still so many people wanting to work, that drives the unemployment rate up. So we simultaneously, it's kind of ironic, we simultaneously have a high unemployment rate and also a lot of people working. That may help you understand what you feel when you get out and you move around, you travel, you go in restaurants, you get out on freeways, and things have seemed busy throughout this worst economy since the Depression, right? Yep. GDP drop was pretty strong. What is this now? Inflation rate. So the inflation rate, which is now running at, you know, 2% or something, compare that to what we went through in the 70s and the 80s, double digits there. Mortgage rates, which got down, I think they're now historic lows, or at least generational lows, at 4.5%. We were at 18% back in the 80s. So we forget all this stuff, the how uncertain and how shocked we were in the 70s and the 80s during these big recessions. Much better now from a macroeconomic point of view. Gas prices have come down since then. If I haven't convinced you, let me take you through a few more factoids. The Dow and the stock market. Everybody's wringing their hands, they can't retire. I hear all kinds of negative things about the equities market. In fact, that's because our expectations were so high from the 1990s of 25% gains on your portfolio every year. I'll show you some a nice historical chart on this in a minute, and I think it'll get you cheered up about the value of your assets. The Dow Jones was bottomed out, what is that, 608 back in the 70s, and the lowest it got this time was about 7,600. Yesterday it was 10,385 or something. So we're a long ways from that low value. U.S. home ownership rate, even with the recession and the we overbuilt housing was the problem, right? That and the financial meltdown are the two big things that occurred during this downturn. But even after that, we have a tremendous growth in the home ownership rate. We're at historical highs on that. Number of houses occupied per person. We just built so many homes. We have a glut, and that's, of course, what led somewhat to this recession. And then think about how many people had high-speed internet access in 1975 or 1982. You know, Al Gore had not invented it yet. And so we're now at 41% of households have high-speed internet access. Cell phone subscriptions, there were 100,000 in 1982. We're up to 230 million cell phone subscriptions. We forget about the technologies that's transforming our lives and raising our standard of living. And particularly the national and the East Coast press tends to focus on a couple of high-level things, the unemployment rate, particularly in the job losses, and not our increase in standard of living. Adults with a college degree, this has steadily crept up. We're approaching 30% of adults now with a college degree, way more than it was in the 70s. We're around 14%. We've more than doubled since that time. This is very important that we keep adding to our human capital, because jobs, as you know, went away in agriculture, they went away in mining, they're going away in manufacturing because of technology and automation. So brain power is the most important thing now as far as economic prosperity. And we're really shown some great strides there. And then finally, if you haven't cheered you up yet, look what has happened to life expectancy. We've moved up from 71 to almost 78 years life expectancy. So we'll be here for John's 100th birthday here soon. All right, so I'll just go back over two or three of these that are the most high level. There's the unemployment rate, and you can see where it peaked. We're down now to 9.6%. It's definitely been falling the past few months. And you can compare it. In 82, it reached 10.8%. And then in 75, it reached 9%. So to me, this was a big macroeconomic correction to a financial meltdown and to a housing glut. And so it's a recession, but it's not a depression, and it's not something we're going to work our way through this, and we already have, really. This is the one I wanted to focus on because it helps explain the high unemployment rate, even though the economy and the standard of living, I think, is pretty well. And that is the percentage of people working among adults. And you can see, yes, it fell during the recession because we had all these job losses, but compare it to 82. We're still much higher than we were in 82 and much higher than we were in 75. So these two recessions were more severe, in my view, and this one, what we're missing sight of here is the fact that so many more people are among adults and are more flexible in trying to get in the labor market. Here's the male-female split on that. You can see the male employment rate has been falling steadily for 40 years, while the female one has exactly offset it. So it doesn't quite represent itself in this room, but as the economy is. Thank goodness for Maria up here. You count for three or four, believe me. But as we've lost manufacturing jobs and the booming industries have been in the office sector, women have been a majority in colleges now and getting degrees and joining the labor force, smaller families, more flexible work schedules, et cetera. Females have almost overtaken men in the labor force, and this has contributed to more people trying to find a job, which makes the unemployment rate high at the same time that you've got more people working. And when you throw in the unemployed people, you get the labor force participation rate. That's too geeky. Let's skip that. Here's the one you'll like. This is just to remind you of that it's not so bad as you may be led to believe for people worried about retirement. We went for a dozen years back in the 70s and early 80s with the Dow Jones Industrial Average never getting above 1,000. It stayed in that range for 12 years. Then we had this big boom. It started in the 80s, actually, and then we ended up with this big tech boom up through 2000, right? And then it peaked. And then since then, we've been running in this range around 10,000, except for that spike we had at the peak there when it got to about 14,000. And so everybody's wringing their hands that we never got back to 14,000 Dow, and therefore the stock market is in some kind of trouble. I think that's nonsense. I think what I see historically in the big sweep of things is that we've reached a very high plateau of about 10,000, and we've been fluctuating around it this whole decade. That's not a bad thing, given the run-up that we had. So what does that say? That says that basically equities are about 10 times more valuable than they were 30 years ago. So that doesn't sound like a crisis to me. It sounds like some kind of correction. All right, let me turn to Louisville. I got a few slides on that, and then I'll stop and you can give speeches. Those are good speeches. Just a little hard to read. Send me an email and I'll send you the file if you want to study it in the privacy of your own home. This is Louisville's metro area's job growth by industry, and you can see throughout the decade we definitely on net gain no jobs here, wage and salary jobs. Most of our competitors did gain some jobs, so we had a pretty slow growth this decade. And you can see in the last column there about what happened in the last year. We lost about 25,000 last year. It's turned back up now. The key culprit is manufacturing. We lost about 30,000 manufacturing jobs this decade, which is about a third of what we had. It's the same percentage that the U.S. lost. So it's not like Louisville's Rust Belt and the rest of the country's skating through this. This is a national phenomena of shedding manufacturing jobs. Even as manufacturing output went up, huge productivity gains and huge wage increases in manufacturing, but no longer a source of job growth. The same thing, for the first time in history, happened this decade in retail trade. Automation got rid of a lot of retail jobs. And you know the stories about swiping cards and doing everything yourself and self-service, the irritating self-service economy where we're all sitting there typing things and then the screen comes back and says, you failed to fill out some form and it ejects it and makes you do it over and type in your own credit card number. And it's irritating as hell, but it is transformational in the economy and has allowed retail sales to go up and retail employment to go down. So that, again, is a reason we've not had some of the job growth we've had in previous recoveries. We had some growth in the Louisville area in the professional business sector. This is very good news because this is the fastest growing sector nationally, and we've been really slow to participate in Louisville. We're starting to show some growth there. And then the fastest growing sectors otherwise were in, it's called financial activities, but inside of that is insurance, which is Humana. Humana's had pretty strong growth this decade in employment, mainly downtown. And then hospitals and dentists and doctor's offices, which is the second one I'm pointing to there, had the strongest overall growth in jobs. And then finally, government had some growth in jobs this decade, largely public school systems, teachers and staff in schools, and then some local government, mainly outside of Jefferson County, where you've got some faster population growth. Yep, so there's the picture. And so this is sort of 15 years, I can't read it, about 10 years, of the last two recessions, and this is job growth in Louisville. This is the actual numbers of jobs in the metro area. In July, the latest data we have is we're at 594, which is down from 628. So you can see that's a drop of about 7%, which is very similar to the national economy. And you can see the last recession, the mild 2001-2002 recession, we lost about 4.5. And notice a little worrisome thing here. The last time we had a recession, it took about 3 years before we saw an upturn in jobs. So that could happen again because productivity just keeps rising. And so the people that retain their jobs make a lot of money. But because of the productivity growth, businesses are able to expand sales without employment like they used to. This is another story that's somewhat of a puzzle that I'm still learning about. Everything I've said so far has been about wage and salary jobs. We've had this tremendous growth in proprietors, self-employed people in this market. You see the red line there. The red line is the growth in self-employed people this decade, whereas the blue line are the wage and salary jobs. Wage and salary jobs we lost on net, but we gained self-employed people. And you might think, oh, well, these are a lot of people that were sort of contracted out of full-time corporate jobs. and they're just doing work out of their home and they're not making any money, that it's a lot of moonlighting for low pay. But let me show you the average pay. The average pay for most of the decade for self-employed people was higher than that of wage and salary. So this has become a really important part of our local economy that we don't talk about much, and that we don't understand much. We don't have very good details on this, and I can't tell you how much of it is contractors or moonlighters or raw entrepreneurs, but I can just see it in the data. It's increasingly important and adds a lot of income, disposable income in this market, that mitigates all these negative stories you've heard about job losses in wage and salary jobs. Yep, so that's what that says. This is the best current local indicator I have of the economy, which is occupational tax receipts to city county government. As you all know, you pay these, right? Most of you. And it's you pay 1.25% flat percentage of salaries to city county government, along with some to TARC and so on. But it's a lovely indicator of payrolls in the county because you have to pay it right away, and there's no revision to the data, unlike most of the other data we have. It's never revised, and we get it within a month of close. So, and so the data through June show, this, the last one is the current, the last fiscal year, we actually had slight growth in the county in payrolls, a little over 1% growth. So it's another sign, I think, that you know the recession's over and we're slowly picking up steam. This is a little geeky, but what I'm trying to get at here is to show you how that occupational taxes managed to grow during much of the decade, even though we had very little job growth. And it had to do with increases in average pay. So we had job losses, but we had wage and salary growth because average pay was growing. And we got away with that through much of the decade until 2008, 2009, first part of 2009, where we had not only job losses, but no pay increases. And that is why the city government has had revenue problems, because we weren't giving raises. Yep. All right, so I'll end on this happy story, which is population growth. A lot of people don't know this or haven't thought about it, but if you go back and look at 40 or 50 years of data, you're going to find that last year was the first time we passed our previous population peak, which was back in the late 70s, when we had a little over 710,000 people in the county. Look at what happened between 74 and 90. This community, this county, lost 46,000 residents. And then UPS came along. Humana kept expanding, et cetera. Good things happened. And people, particularly from out in the provinces, came into here to get jobs and live here. And so we've had this turnaround, a V-shaped look, and we've added 56,000 residents since. And we just passed our previous peak of population in the county. So Greg, more hookups. And I know less revenue per hookup. I know the story well. But we have had population growth in the county, which might cheer you up. Given all the bad news, this did not happen in the two previous recessions, particularly the one in the 1980s, where there was a flight of people from Jefferson County and Louisville to jobs in Texas and Florida and everywhere else. Break it down for you. This really is the last slide. If you're geeky like me and you like to understand what's causing what, you can decompose the population growth into what demographers call the natural increase versus migration. The natural increase in population has to do with the fact that we've been having more babies, 97,600, if I can read it, more than deaths. So we had about 28,000 more people born than die over this decade. That raises your population growth, right? Then the next part of it is the international migration. We've added about 14,000 people in Jefferson County who were foreign born. So that gave some goose to our population growth. But we lost about 8,500 somewhere to what's called domestic migration. In other words, Americans, born people, who more of them left than came. That's a bad news story for Jefferson County, but it's actually a good news story for the metropolitan area. And that's what the next panel shows you, is the same decomposition for our metropolitan area. And what you'll see is, again, you have more births and deaths. You have a little bit more international migration, add to the Jefferson County stuff, And then finally, you've got a net gain in domestic migration. Well, a big chunk of that is people from Jefferson County moving to surrounding counties. And so that's a normal thing. It's not something we all have to stop. It's a very normal thing. Jefferson County tends to be a place where you have more Bohemians, more students, more young people, and then you have younger families, and then they'll decide whether they want a nice new ranch-style home. That's hard for a young family to afford in Jefferson County. They go out to surrounding counties. Then when they get older, they come back. So it's a fairly normal thing. But that's what's been going on this decade to decompose our overall population growth. So let me stop and listen to your speeches.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much, Paul. It's 1 o'clock, and if you need to run, please do. Otherwise, please come to the microphone. I don't see Thelma here, so there's nobody in your way. I've got a question as we're heading into the election season. Paul, you are our tax guru, and I always enjoy hearing you talk about it. And with the governor coming next week and with the mayoral debate going to be on October 21st, would you give us some of your pearls of wisdom and maybe questions we should ask of these folks about taxes and things we should be aware of, please?
Man, Henry, you're going to get me in big trouble, and we don't really have time to get into it. I would think the most important thing to ask the governor is not a tax question, but an expenditure question, and how he's going to deal with the pension liabilities of state employees. I'm sure somebody will ask him. When I was a kid, I don't know if it was myth or not, but I was taught that public employees were all servants and they were underpaid and overworked, and you wouldn't want to go into it unless you were just idealistic. And lots of studies have been coming out over the last decade that show just the opposite. Public sector employees actually make more money. When you compare occupation to occupation, their benefits are better, their retirement benefits, there's no risk. They don't pay their health insurance like private employees do. Are not at the level, and that's a big problem in Kentucky, I think, that is looming. Billions and billions of dollars that somebody at the state level needs to take some leadership on, or they're going to raise our taxes even more here.
Jefferson County issues.
Jefferson County, I don't think it was a very good time for the school board to raise property taxes. I think that was bad timing, but I guess that's not the mayor's problem. The biggest problem here, we don't have, in any study I've ever done, we do not have exceptionally high taxes for a city like us. You know, we have property taxes about like Nashville or Indianapolis or Cincinnati. The state income tax is the nastiest thing, part of the equation. We are high there, but we don't have a sales tax locally like other communities do. We have this local occupational tax. So you net it all out, we're not that different than other places. Where we get clobbered is on the expenditure side, where the state takes so much money out and doesn't put it back. So I don't think the best thing to do is to reduce the amount they're taking out, because they're never going to decide that this is where they need to invest most of it. We need to have state tax reform, and hopefully the mayor, whoever wins the mayor's race, will lead that effort statewide and maybe bring in Lexington, Northern Kentucky. That would be my number one thing for the mayor.
Leland?
Thanks, Henry. Dr. Coombs, our hearts go out to unemployed families, but I have a frustration. That is, it's a medical society. We have an employment service. We've got job openings in physicians' offices and other places, and people go through the motions of applying, but they tell us they don't really want to go back to work till their unemployment runs out. So every time Congress extends the unemployment, I'm not sure if it helps or harms. If you can get Congress to do the right thing, what would it be?
Well, there's a lot of academic studies that have shown this for 15 years, that high unemployment insurance benefits delays people taking action to get a job. Now, that's not it's not true for everybody, but there's plenty of econometric evidence that supports what you just said. And it's another indication that the economy is not as bad as we've been led to believe. So, yeah, I don't agree with hardly anything Congress has done. Stimulus, taking over General Motors, bailouts, I'm against all of it in both administrations.
It seems like the debate on TV now is the whole issue of tax cuts for the richest 2%, 5%, whatever it is for Americans. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, two things. One,
let the Bush tax cuts expire. Or
yeah.
Extend it, whatever.
All right. Well, now we're getting into politics. You know, I voted for Bush. I thought he was going to be fiscally conservative. And when he wasn't, I became an independent. And what really bugged me wasn't so much going to war, but it was going to war and not telling anybody what it was going to cost and then having tax cuts. So, you know, I'm pretty supply side oriented, but I'm also fiscally responsible. If you're going to spend money, you have to tell people what it's going to cost and charge them, right? And he didn't do that. So. Given the deficit we're in, I think the government, we're going to have to let the tax cuts expire. I would vote for that if I was in Congress, even though the supply sider in me says it's a horrible thing. More to probably where you were going, it is true that the wealthiest people pay most of the taxes as it is. So I can't remember the numbers. The top 0.5% of taxpayers pay something like 25, 30% of all income taxes. You know, the bottom 50% of taxpayers pay like 1% of the taxes. So wealthy people, high income people are paying almost all the federal taxes now. So that's where the money is. Did I answer it at all? Yeah. Okay.
Bill?
Thank you very much, Paul. Can you talk about data quality? When your students do a survey and produce some result that differs from what might be publicly available. Talk about that.
Well, you'll see, I think it's in my bio stuff there. My favorite quote is from the Nobel laureate, Ronald Coase, out of the University of Chicago. He said, if you torture the data long enough, nature confesses. And I've heard that in graduate school, and it's been my mantra ever since. And so what I try to teach students and what I try to do myself is, if you're getting into something and you can tell that the signals are kind of noisy, go get more measurements. You know, just keep measuring the thing from different angles until you bracket it and you get a pretty good feel. You know, if you measure something five ways and all five ways are pointing up, it's probably up, you know. And so, you know, economics is fuzzier than physics and engineering. So we have to be more diligent about reporting confidence intervals and probability statements and all of that, but also just getting multiple measures of the same thing and just torture it.
One last question. Sorry, Henry. I appreciate your comments about the public sector and the private sector. It's a good deal to work in the public sector. My question is, there's a pretty good gravy train out there related to 20 years and you're out. I mean, like the post office. I mean, I think it's crazy. As far as vacations, extra days here and days there, the private sector doesn't get it. We work. And I say, how do we change that mentality? I mean, I know it's an election type thing, and you will not be reelected if you get rid of a few of those things, but my God, it's crazy. And you know, having, like for example, the post office, they're afraid to do away with the Saturday delivery. We have to start thinking about how we're going to survive. I mean, because the taxes, we're not keeping up with it.
Send up the grease.
Ditto.
Paul, thank you so much. You are a